This is for every motherless daughter. It's a ray of hope for the fatherless son, from the faithful one.
Father, I thank you for your word this morning. We again posture ourselves to receive all that you have for us. Steak, peas, carrots, whatever it is. Lord, we are open. Yeah, potatoes and then blackberry cobbler, please. Maybe peach at the end. In Jesus' name. Amen. With some ice cream. All right, let's take our Bibles this morning. We got a declaration for you. I'm not going to say any longer take your Bibles, or remember I used to say a device you're addicted to. The only thing we're addicted to is Jesus. So I'm not going to speak that over you anymore. You bet. So let's take our Bibles or our phones or whatever. And, you know, I was visiting with a gentleman this week that we're talking about, the internet. We're talking about phones, computers, even money. Those are all amoral. They're neutral. Money is not the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. Your computer, the internet, they're not bad. All those things reveal the character of the one that's using them. Is that fair? Money is not evil. It simply reveals the character and nature of the one that possesses it. So it's the same with computers or our phones or whatever. Let's say this together. This is my Bible. The truest thing about me is what God says about me. And he says, I am a born again child of God. I am a new creation in Christ. I am growing up and maturing. And I am full of love and daily bear the fruit of the Spirit. Yeah, put that on your mirror, your vanity or whatever at home. Remind yourself of those things. We're going to continue our brand new series on Assignment 2020. As the Lord's desire for us, we've got these five goals for this year. Number one, to reveal his heart and his generosity to our community. That's why we're adopting a school and getting involved with other churches and the school, the community. We want to put God's love and kindness on full display for the world to see. Everybody said amen to that, right? And then we want to lead change. We want to be the change we want to see in our country. Anybody can gripe about the way the country is, or this is happening or that is happening, but I want to be the type of American I want other Americans to be. I want to lead in that area. I just want to be some of the change that I'd like to see. Does that make sense? I mean, we can gripe about it, or we can be the change and the type of American we want others to be. Another one is we're developing a culture of honor. We want to honor each other, treat each other well, practice honor in our homes, school, workplace, wherever you may be. And then we want to make it easy for you to be a part. If you say, man, Brother Steve, I do believe something's happening. I believe there's a remnant. I think God's stirring his church. I'd love to be part. We want to make that easy for you. I think one of the tragedies of American Christendom is if you have somebody who comes to the church and they really do, you know, love the Lord, they want to grow in their relationship with him and mature, it should be easy for them to connect. It shouldn't be hard. Amen. I mean, it should be easy to find family in the body of Christ. Not challenging. And then another one is we want to be intentional in our maturing, Jesus Christ being Lord, and in disciple making. We want to be intentional in our growth and development. How many of you know that'll be a process for us to mature to be like Christ? The end goal for all of us is to be conformed to the image of God's Son. And if you've seen Jesus, we might have a little ways to go. We've probably got some growing to do. If you've seen him and his character and his nature. So it's a process, and it'll take time for us to mature into actual disciples, you know, learners, followers of Christ who are all in, who don't just know him as Savior headed to the sweet by and by, but who actually know him as Lord in every area of our life. And I want you to know, I am walking with Jesus every day to find my own freedom. I want transformation in every area of my heart and life. Amen. We're all growing. Maybe you're part of a spiritual family already where you've got somebody that's helping you mature and helping you grow. I promise you, whoever's helping you, they're in transformation too. We're all, bless you, brother, we're all in transformation because the end goal is to look like him. And that's why that was so well said by the two ladies there, Annie and Gretchen. We all need to be growing each other in Christ. Let's go to Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. Paul's writing to born-again believers. He says, "Oh, my dear children, I feel as if I'm going through labor pains again." And they'll continue until what? Until Christ is fully developed in you. That's what he wants to see. And then the Message Bible says, until Christ's life becomes more visible in you. So maturity, by definition, is the condition of being fully developed and Christ-like. So for young people, maturity has nothing to do. Maturity has nothing to do with your age here. It's got to do with Christ-likeness. And you can be 16 years old and be a model, be an example to others in the nature of Christ. Amen. Let no one despise you because of your youth. 1 Timothy chapter 4. So, in growing up to Christ, if we're gonna foster a culture of maturity, we have to know it's the Father's will for us to mature. And we covered that last week. There's scripture after scripture that show that it's God's desire for us to grow up in all aspects into Christ. So when we see God's desire for us to mature, it creates a desire. Everybody say desire. There's a desire, a conviction in us to be mature. And then guess what we do? We make an actual decision that we want to be mature. We know it's His will, so then the desire is there, and now we make a decision that I want to be mature. Sometimes we don't need somebody else to lay hands on us for the millionth time. Sometimes we just need to make a decision in our heart and mind, I want to be mature. And then through that decision to be mature, everybody say, I love Brother Steve. I just needed a hug before I say this. Then we actually impart discipline to our lives to be mature. We put feet to our faith, in other words. It's not just a desire. It's not just a decision. Now there's discipline parameters within our life because we want to be mature. Let me give you one other component I think is very important if we're going to grow up to be actual, authentic disciples, followers, kingdom ambassadors of Jesus. You need resiliency to be mature. You really do. You're going to have some supernatural resiliency if you're going to stay the course. What I mean by that, you're going to have to be able to get up when you fall. When you make a big mistake or a big piece of stupid, as we like to say, you've got to be able to get up and keep going. And the enemy of your resilience is shame. The enemy of your resilience is shame. And let me tell you what shame is. Shame is a tool of the enemy to get you to identify with your big pieces of stupid. In other words, you're not a born-again Christian who loves the Lord, who happened to, out of a little bit of fear and timidity, told a lie. You're not a born-again Christian who told a lie. He says, you're a liar. Or how many precious children of God look in the mirror and would be like, you know what, I could stand to get back to the gym. I could stand to get to work, you know, in my health and all that. And instead, the enemy says, gets the Christian to say, you're ugly, or I'm ugly. I'm disgusting. I'm a disappointment. Don't you let him do it. Don't ever let the enemy identify with something about your life, either in your past or something that you want to change. Your identity comes from the one who made you a brand new creation. And that is your Heavenly Father. Amen. Your identity doesn't come from the devil, and it doesn't come from your past, and it doesn't come from mistakes. My Bible says that He made me. God made me a new creation in Christ. So devil, I get my identity from Him. Not from you. Now here's the thing. The devil, you've been born again with an incorruptible seed. 1 Peter 1:23. Incorruptible means what? Cannot be corrupted. Your spirit man cannot be corrupted. You didn't make it right and clean. You can't make it unright and unclean. Christ did that for you. But if you've been born again by an incorruptible seed, that means the devil can't make you bad. He can only make you think you're bad, or he can only make you feel like you're a bad person. Which is precisely what he tries to do. So you gotta elevate truth beyond what you think and beyond how you feel sometimes. Here's some more good news. You tell the devil an apple tree is still an apple tree, even if that apple tree doesn't have apples on it right now. Maybe I'm not bearing the fruit that I wanted to bear, but I'm still an apple tree, even though I'm not fully developed. So shut up, devil. Amen. That's what you tell him. He has no right to talk to you. Amen. How about this? How many of you would say, you know, Brother Steve, I had a period of time in my life that I just, you know, I had all kinds of big pieces of stupid. I just walked away from the Lord. I was doing my own thing. Maybe a period of months, maybe a period of years for some of you. Anybody got some regrets over seasons of your life? Let me tell you something. That season in your life, that was not evidence of your failure. That was evidence of the devil's failure because he didn't finish you off. Look where you are right now. Look what the Lord has done. See, the enemy never completes a work he begins. But our Father, he will complete the work he's began in you. Our Father will not fail. The devil fails all the time. He failed to put you away when he had you in that season. When he had you doing his stuff that season, he failed. It's not an evidence of your failure. It's an evidence of his. Amen. So you give your past over to the Lord. You give it to him and say, Lord, you use it if you need it, but I'm free. He who the Son sets free is free. Come on, clap your hands and bless. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Proverbs 24:16, though a righteous man falls seven times, what's he do? He rises again. We actually sang that this morning. So you got to be able to deal with disappointment. It may not even be personal sin. It might be a tragedy in your family. You've got to have resiliency. And you can have an anointing for resiliency. You want to know why? Because greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. You'll never face anything outside of you greater, stronger, bigger than the one on the inside of you. So don't you give up. You get up. You get up and you keep coming and you keep growing and you tell the enemy, you remind him, an eagle is still an eagle, even if it's not fully developed yet. I may not see everything that I want to see right now, but I'm coming. I'm coming. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Remember, on this journey, it's a marathon to become like Christ, to be conformed to that image, that reach that full posture of maturity we read about in Matthew 5. So it's a marathon, not a sprint. And the enemy likes to take snapshots and say, nope, that's who you are. But it's a lie. You're becoming who you already are in Christ, so your outer missteps don't change your inner identity. Your outer mistakes don't change your inner identity. Now, as far as a church, I mentioned last week, your maturity in Christ is your responsibility, but here's what we're responsible for at Grace Church. We want to model what maturity in Christ looks like. We want to nurture an environment where maturity can happen. We want to reveal God's heart for maturity. We've been doing that. And then join with you in searching out truth and tools that help you grow yourself and others into authentic Christ followers. As we get to know each other, what's awesome is we can share. I might go to Winston and say, hey, brother, you know, I know you're battling some of the stuff I battle. Look what the Lord showed me in Matthew chapter 6. I want to share that with you. See, we search out, all of us as a church body, we search out truth and we share it with each other. Because we're all on the same journey towards conformity to Christ. Amen, somebody. Listen, you can't be like, well, it's the staff's job. They're supposed to dig out all the truth. Brother Steve, he's supposed to dig out all the truth and feed it to me. Well, part of my role is, yes, to supply you with some truth and tools, but you need to be supplying me too. And you need to be supplying you too. And you need to be supplying those next to you too. Don't hold me to some responsibility you're not holding yourself to. We're all priests in the kingdom of God. Come on, give him praise in the house of God. It's tight, but it's right. You know, in a church that a house of prayer becomes a den of thieves when privileges that were intended for everybody are relegated to a select few. God intended all of us to dig out truth. God intended all of us to ask, seek, and knock, and then share it with each other in community. Amen. This is a missional community that we're in, church. We're a family. We're a family. I'll even say, you know, as far as leadership, you know, the church is modeled after the biblical family structure. So leadership within a church body should look a whole lot more like family than hierarchy or elitists. We should look more like family and coaches. Not hierarchy and, yeah. And elitist. I think Paul said, you have many teachers, but we need good fathers and mothers in the house of God. Amen? And you just can't say it any better that let me father you in areas that I'm mature and I know the Father in, and then you father me in the areas that you see him. Yeah. Praise God. Mutual submission. Amen, somebody. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm telling you what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing right now in the United States. He's doing one thing right now, one thing. Building his church. Strengthening his church so the gates of hell cannot prevail against us. That's what he's doing. And if this is the last of the last days, if this is the last generation, I'm telling you, I want to be found doing what he is doing. And what he's doing is building the church, maturing the saints so the gates of hell get pushed back, get overthrown. Amen. We have made a decision here. We are not going to just have church. Jesus is not having church. Jesus is building the church. He said he would do it and he's doing it. Feel like he's been trying to do it for years and years, but our eyes are finally open to the peas and carrots revelation. And like, you're right, Lord, your way is the best way. You know how much of my Christian life I spent praying and telling God what I wanted him to do, what I thought was a good godly idea, and asking him to bless my stuff, bless my ideas. And he's like, Steve, why don't you just give your life to me and I'll lead you in a path that's already blessed. Let me lead you. Why are you in charge? Let me lead you. But I can't know the Father's heart if I'm not sitting with the Father. I can't know him if I'm not prioritizing hearing his voice. Amen. Amen. Woo, I feel the Holy Spirit here. You know, and the beauty of this church is, you know, because I shared this in first service, and we're hungry. We want this. We want to grow in all aspects into Christ. I don't want to just have church. I've already seen in the spirit where we're coming together on Sundays to celebrate what it is to be the church Monday through Saturday.
Yes.
In other words, I run to Jackie and say, Jackie, man, listen to what happened at Chick-fil-A the other day. And Jackie says, you're not going to believe what happened. I came off my backhoe the other day. God was moving so much. I spoke to this coworker. Where we're celebrating what God's doing Monday through Saturday. What it is to be the church. Not just go to church. Not just have a church service. If church services were going to save America, America would be in a lot better state than it's in. So we're going to have to grow. Touch your neighbor and say, we're going to have to grow. Amen. We need to be helping new believers who come here get connected to the vine. If you're born again, you are connected to the vine. Now you need to learn what it is to abide in him, to sit with the Father, as I was saying. Carve out time, yes, but then live all day long, practicing his presence. I told first service, they were shocked. He lives inside you. He sees all this stuff. You know, we're talking about, I'll hold on to it. I'll give it to you here in a little bit, because it's in my notes. So as a church body, we're committed to more than just having church. We're actually committed to intentionally investing in each other for the purpose of growing ourselves in Christ. Can I say it again? As a church body, we're committed to intentionally investing in each other for the purpose of growing ourselves in Christ, for the purpose of living transformed lives, for the purpose of spiritual maturity, and for the purpose of emotional health. We can't say that we're spiritually mature and then be cussing people out on the highway. It's true, right? If that's the case, you're only spiritually mature for an hour on Sunday. And I don't know that's spiritually mature. Spiritual maturity and emotional health go hand in hand. Amen. Spiritual maturity looks like love, unconditional, sacrificial. Joy despite circumstances and traffic. Have you guys tried blessing traffic? It's amazing. Bless the traffic. Bless them. Lord, I bless this traffic. Many times I have seen it supernaturally move and I just pass right through. It's amazing. But other times, Adrian, I've blessed the traffic and I changed. The traffic never changed. I just had great peace come over me. That's the supernatural life. To me, spiritual maturity and emotional health go hand in hand. We can't be those that blow a gasket and say we're spiritually mature. But let me say this. Remember, when we get back, this is precisely what he's doing, is bringing us to spiritual maturity and emotional health. Where? Underneath the iceberg. Because we only see 10% of that iceberg that's above the surface. 90% of that baby is underneath the surface. And we're giving him permission to form himself in us. Lord, form love where I have hatred. Form joy, Lord, where I have sadness. Form yourself in me. That's Galatians 4:19. All right, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, let's go there. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. But the fruit of the Spirit, the result of His presence within us. Where is He? Within us. The result of His presence within us is love, unselfish concern for others, joy and inner peace, patience. Listen to this. Not the ability to wait, but actually how you act while you're waiting. It's in the Bible, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And then he says what I love, against such things there is no law. You realize that the law was given to Israel to restrain sin. He's saying if you want to let it all go and be a madman in freedom, there's no restraint against love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all that. Gentleness, just be as free and bold with it. Just, if you want to live an excessive life, live excessively in the fruit of the Spirit. There's no law, no restraint against these. Woo, isn't that good? So we got to have church services where the fruit of the Spirit is allowed to be manifest in liberality. Not Adrian, I love how you love God. I was watching you in worship. That's amazing, but can you tone it down a little bit? Not like that. Jackie, I saw your joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength, but it bothered me. Yeah. See, if you're going to be liberal and not have restraint, then love liberally. Have joy unspeakable liberally. Have peace in traffic liberally. Oh my goodness. Come on, Holy Ghost. Now, I encourage you, take a picture of this. This is awesome. Gavin created this for me. Galatians 5:22. So on the left is the New King James Version of the fruit of the Spirit, and on the right is the definition of what it actually looks like. So the fruit of the Spirit is love. What is it? Well, divine sacrificial love for God and others. You got to love to love. How many of you know perfect love removes all fear? For 49 years and however many months old I am, I believed and I had that revelation that God loves me perfectly, so I'm not afraid of Him. And that's good. I'm not afraid to approach Him. He doesn't mean harm to me. That's good. But guess what I found out this week? Perfect love, when I'm filled with God's perfect love for another human being, I'm not afraid of them. I'm not afraid of them. And I have had bouts in my life where I'm afraid to maybe share the truth with somebody that they might reject me. Or maybe they're going to get mad. Maybe they're going to... Any of you married? That's a good example. That'll help you. If you're married, you've had a thought, maybe I shouldn't say this, and you're a little bit scared. But when you have perfect love in your heart for the other person, there is no fear. And I have experienced that this week. Because even, and I'm not even talking about my spouse, but even in dealing with this other person, I was just unafraid. I didn't mind speaking truth to them. I wasn't even afraid they might get mad or anything. Why? Because my heart towards them is good. And it took all my fear away. Isn't that awesome? I want to walk in that measure of love all the time. All the time. And I believe that's his will for me. To walk in that measure of freedom and love. Then joy. What is joy? Divine love, strength, and exuberance. Peace is divine love, not any love, divine love, security, and wholeness. Did you know you can be so secure in your Father's love that you'll give your life to serve and help other people? You can be so secure in His love, you're not afraid to speak on His behalf to the waitress or whoever it is. Because you just so want her to know how He feels about her. So in John 13, it says of Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He had come from God and He was going back to God. Guess what it says He did? He took off His outer garment and wrapped a towel around His waist, and He washed His disciples' feet. When you know that you're loved and you're at peace, divine love is your security, you'll give your life to others. in the church for too long. It's like, Sylvia, you need to get out there and do it, man. Get out there and serve and give. And if she has a revelation of how safe she is in the Father's love, divine love, security and wholeness, she'll do it automatically. So what did the church need to grow in? Revelation of his divine love. Make sense? We got our actions before our receptivity. You can't give away what you don't have. You got to receive first. That's what a branch does. We receive and then life is produced. All right. And then long suffering, divine love's endurance. Kindness is divine love's conduct. Yeah, it is. And then goodness, divine love's purity and virtue. The goodness of God lives in you. Be salty. Jesus said, be salty. Be so salty they can taste and see that he is good. Faithfulness, divine love's commitment. Gentleness, divine love's humility. Self-control, I love that. Divine love's victory. Those are good. So let's ask a couple of questions. To what degree are these descriptions realities in your life today? I want you to ask that question. No condemnation for anybody. Amen. An eagle's still an eagle, even if he's not fully developed yet. Maybe he can't hunt yet. Maybe he can't fly yet, but he's still an eagle. So there's no condemnation for you. We're growing. We're on a path towards Christ's likeness, and all these are like Christ. But let's humbly sit with the Lord and say, Lord, how often are these character traits realities in my life? My marriage? My family, how I treat my kids, my grandkids, how about my school, my fellow students, or my coworkers? To what degree are these showing up? And you can sit with the Lord. He'll be honest with you. Have him rate yourself 1 out of 10 on each one. And it just help you know where you can start growing. Amen. I think it's good. Thank you, Gretchen. This is a good litmus test. Can I get a strong witness that at Grace Church, we're madly in love with Jesus?
Yes.
I mean, he's everything. And so we're consumed. We want to be like him. We want him to be formed within us. We're not just going to play church. We want to grow up in all aspects to look like him. We want to mature. And then I think another good question is, Lord, if I'm not seeing these, do I have things beneath the surface that are untouched by your love and your grace? Look at this one. Ask the Lord, what things are keeping me from seeing you? What keeps me from abiding with you? Why do I say seeing him? Because you become like that which you behold. So if you'll look at him, you'll become like him. Amen. Jody was sharing a word with me between services about us being able to, Lord, show us, let us see you. And then let us see properly 2020 vision, not just you, see each other as you do. Then see ourselves as you do. I like that for a goal, right? 2020 vision. Let us see what he sees. But that's the key. You can spend your whole life trying to fix your bad behavior, or you can spend more time looking at Jesus, knowing that the more you look at him, the more you'll become like him.
Yes.
Praise God. Amen. I mean, praise God for that revelation. Because otherwise, I'd just say, write down all the bad stuff you do and try harder. Instead, I'm going to say, you're a branch. Learn to abide. Abide with him. Look to him. Be sourced by him. I love that prophetic word this morning. The devil can't take your joy. He didn't give it to you. Joy comes from the Spirit. Christ's work in you, that union you have in him. Ask the Lord, do I have hidden resentments that block my time with you? Are there areas beneath the surface untouched by your love? Traits of immaturity or emotional unhealth that you want to address? Yep. 2 Peter 1:9 says, if you're not growing in all these things, the enemy's rendering you unfruitful because you've forgotten your purification from your past sins. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 9. So make sure you understand that you are a free and brand new creation. Abiding is a key. Here you go, Annie. She touched on it earlier. John 15, verse 4. Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. You want to become more and more like Christ? This is our goal. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. I did a study on the Greek word nothing. It means nothing. So what he's saying is, include me in all these things. Include me in all these things. Which, okay, never mind, Lord. If you're doing the dishes, can you be abiding?
Yes.
You're including him. He's with you. Driving to work? He's right there. So that's the funny that I said I was going to tell you about. If you're on the computer, the internet is not evil. It's just revealing the character, the one that's looking at it at the time. You need to be including him in your web browser and where you're surfing the web at. And the joke was that he doesn't, you know, you pull up this bad site and he leaps out of your body. I'll be back when you're not sinning. No, he's there. He's there the whole time. That's right. He sees our big pieces of stupid and he loves us right in the middle of them. Why? Because he's not a quitter. He's not a failure. Remember, the enemy has failed to kill you when he had the opportunity. Christ will complete the work he has begun in you. That's why you're here. Amen. Amen. So everybody say, include him. And this passage right here helps so many new Christians. And I get the privilege of meeting with some here and there. I had a big old boy in my office this week. He's a young man. But he said, Brother Steve, I've invited Christ into my heart. I've prayed the prayer, but I don't feel any different. And I just don't see any difference. Nothing seems to be changing. I said, read John 15, 4 and 5 for me. So there in my office, he read it to me. He about fell out of his chair. He said, oh my gosh, I am not doing this. I'm not doing any of this. I'm not staying connected to him. And abide. The word abide means live, remain, or stay in him. And he said, I'm not doing any of that. And I said, I asked him, okay, I agree. You said that you're not seeing any results. Where's the fruit, etc. I said, what's the actual command here? And he said, it's to abide. He saw it, that fruit is the byproduct of us hanging out with Jesus. I love Luke 10, 38 through 42, Mary and Martha. Martha's running around all over the place, preparing dinner and doing all this stuff, and rebukes Jesus to tell Mary to get up and help her. And Jesus said, I'm not going to rebuke her. She's chosen the better part. What's Mary doing? Abiding. She's sitting at the Master's feet, gazing in his face, becoming more and more like him. So that's how we bear fruit. Is it fair to say that if we're going to bear much fruit, he might be talking about the fruit of the spiritual union, the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. What if he values those more than the gifts of the Spirit? What if the fruit of the Spirit matter more to him than the gifts of the Spirit we operate in? Absolutely. Absolutely. Because I want to be able to have the character to handle if the gift of healing or the gift of miracles begins to operate in my life. I better know what unconditional, divine, sacrificial love, joy, humility all looks like. Amen. So I'm the vine and you're the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. John 15 verse 8, Jesus said, they'll know you're my disciples by your fruit. It's okay to judge fruit. Did you hear me say that? I need to go on CNN. It's okay to judge people's fruit. You just can't judge the individual because they might be an apple tree that's not fully developed. And so we don't see the fruit in their life, but they want to bear that fruit. Okay. Does that make sense? But as we mature, they'll know we're his disciples by our fruit. They'll also know we're his disciples if we abide in him. John 8, 31 and 32. Jesus said, if you'll abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed. And the Bible wasn't even written when he said that. So don't tell me that reading 5 minutes of the Bible is abiding. We're going to abide in him. We're going to be connected to Jesus. Now it can include reading scripture. It can include worship and all those things. But to abide, when he said abide in my word, we're sitting at his feet listening to his voice. Abiding in him. What else does it, bless you? It goes on to say, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. So disciples of Jesus know the truth. And then he said, it'll set you. So disciples of Jesus live free lives. Guess where he's taking you? This is so exciting. Now the church will begin to not be addicted to everything the world is. And that's exciting. We'll actually look different than the world. Not to look down on them, but to serve them. And to bring them to the one who set us free. Yeah, amen. Amen, amen. That's powerful. So abiding is setting your mind to be connected to him. Remain in Jesus all day long, 24/7, walking with Jesus, including him in everything. What's the goal? Intimacy with him is the goal. How about this? He's our source for ongoing receptivity. You want to each and every moment of the day be receiving from him. Lord, I'm getting stuck in traffic. What say you? Lord, I have a difficult decision at work whether to do this contract or not. What say you? It's 24/7 involvement with the one who's in you. Amen. You know, if you've been made alive by the Spirit, walk by the Spirit. Brother Sean Burchett gave me this passage out of Colossians. I want to show it to you. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. And I want to say one other thing about abiding before I show you this. Gretchen has a great analogy of an umbilical cord. You know, a baby doesn't wake up in the morning in its mother's womb. You know, it's still in the womb. It doesn't wake up and say, oh, it's morning. I guess I'll abide. I guess I'll connect to my mom. No, through that umbilical cord, always connected. And that's the beauty and grace of God. You're always connected to the Lord. But are there things that stop that flow? That's what you got to be asking. Lord, what are the things that take my mind and my time off of you? Amen. Okay, look at Colossians 2:6. This is amplified, and we'll wrap this up. As you have therefore received Christ. How did you get born again? You received Christ, even Jesus the Lord. So regulate your lives. Walk and conduct yourselves, look at this, in union with and conformity to him. Can I get a witness, PG version, husbands and wives, when they get married, they form a union. And they can have children through that union. Fair enough? When you got married to Christ and he came inside of you by that incorruptible seed, which is the Greek word sperma, literally is. Okay, when he comes within you to live, you bear fruit from that union. But your children's names are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, and gentleness. The fruit of it is not having a church service. The fruit of Christ in you is the fruit of his union, that spirit, as your husband. Isn't that beautiful? So as the bride of Christ, when he's throwing salt on us at the table and laughing and saying, be so salty, they can taste you and know that I'm good. That's our role as the bride of Christ. We've made it so complicated. I love what Beth Moore said last week. We need a revival in this country to the simplicity of pure devotion to Jesus. We just got to get back to Jesus, guys. We get back to spending time with him, looking to him, and then be amazed at the fruit that will come out of your life. Verse 7, well, regulate your lives and conduct yourselves in union with conformity to him. Have the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in him. Fixed and founded where? In him. Being continually built up where? In him. Three times in him. Becoming increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith. Just as you were taught and abounding and overflowing in it with thanksgiving. Gabe, you guys can go ahead and come. Look at that, church. How when we're in him, we're increasingly more confirmed, literally confident and established in what we believe and who we believe. I believe you'll be so salty that when people taste you, they won't say, I want what you have. They'll say, I want who you have. I want the person of Christ that you know active in my life. But we are believers. So we get established and we're confident in what we believe. Yeah, but man, I lost my job the other day. But you're a believer. So what do? When you lose your job? Believe. Well, the stock market, I heard my numbers the other day. What do I do? Believe. We're believers. That's what we do. Stand with me. What a journey. What a journey. I really do love you. I love the body, the family of this church, because our hearts are good. Our hearts are to know Him. Our hearts are to mature and look like Him. But we can't do it without Him. We need to continually be just abiding and setting our heart and mind on Him. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here this morning, you've never accepted.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.